Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Moreno Valley Talk Radio's broadcast of January 7th, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to review the state of civic affairs in Moreno Valley, California. You can catch us as a podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MB City Talk and navigate to our show or any archive show from the past. You are welcome to phone us directly and be on the show at 946-929-0610 and follow the instructions given by the automated operator or email Deanna for help if you're not getting through. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com and Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Happy New Year, everyone, and thank you all for listening in. We're getting started with another year, 2015, for MV Talk Radio. Now let's get started. Deanna, I hear we have some guests on the show tonight.
We do. We have several guests on the show. Our councilman, Jeffrey Gaiba, has, along with some other people, written a proposal for a charter school, and he asked to speak about it, so I invited him and three other people that worked on this with him. So I'm going to introduce Jeffrey, and then Jeffrey is going to introduce the other three people that are on the show, and they're going to tell us about the charter school that they are proposing. Jeff,
hi, Jeff.
Are you there?
Hey, Jeff, how are you? This is Leland Daniels.
I haven't heard the guy, but yet this is Jeffrey Clayton, one of the guests.
Jeffrey Clayton is a board member for Markham Collegiate Sports Academy, and is Chuck Moore there?
Yes, I'm here as well, Jeff.
And there's Chuck Moore. He's also a board member for Markham Collegiate Sports Academy.
And
there's
Leland
our four, and Leland Daniels, our general manager.
Well, welcome to all of you, and why don't you tell our listeners exactly what you were proposing in the school, what you wanted to accomplish, and what you wanted to tell the public about.
Any one of you can jump in.
This is Chuck. This is Chuck Moore. Let me try and keep this a little bit organized and start at the very beginning real quickly. Mr. Jeffrey Clayton, Mr. Don Markham, a legendary football coach in the region, approached me 3 years ago with the idea of putting together a really high-powered charter school. When I say high-powered, I mean seriously high academic standards that would draw the children of doctors, business owners, folks who basically put their kids in private schools out of Moreno Valley. How can we keep them in the region, as well as adding the second most attractive feature for young folks at this particular age, which was athletics. So tying high academic standards with a real concentration on athletics at all levels, and really changing the structure of school to fit, you know, the new technology that is available, as well as a community where 75% of the parents commute out. We talked about a major extended day where we could help students catch up. And the evidence that we saw looking at the students that we would draw said we needed a lot of extra time, seat time, for the academic side, not the athletic side, but to bring folks up to par so they could compete for any seat at any college in the state and in the nation. And that's probably the shortest version.
Jeffrey Clayton, want to add to that one?
Yes. What prompted me to approach Don Markham, and Don had been living at the crest of Rich Canyon since the late 70s, so he's been a resident of the community prior to the community becoming Moreno Valley. But what prompted me to approach Don was the fact that my youngest child, my daughter, went through middle school and high school in Moreno Valley Unified, and throughout her experience, she had very good social experiences, but a lot of her academic experiences were not as challenging as I would have hoped they would have been. and I had been pressured by friends and colleagues to transfer her to Riverside North or Rancho Verde or some other school. And because I grew up in the Midwest and went to neighborhood schools, I believe in neighborhood schools strongly. And I love the fact that my daughter was able to walk from home to school her entire middle and high school years. But I was somewhat disconcerted by the fact that the academic challenge and the variety of academic challenges were not prevalent within her educational experience. And so when I approached Don Markham, I told him that I had worked at a college preparatory boarding school in the Midwest for a few years, and the majority of those kids actually were going to Ivy League and Eastern Select schools. And ironically, in our league was the high school that presidential candidate Mitt Romney attended. So some people may say that these are the kind of schools that the 1% attend, like the Claremont Webb School, like the Brentwood School in West Los Angeles. And I just felt that there wasn't a school of that caliber in the Moreno Valley area, so that those parents who really wanted their kids to get a really challenging academic interpretation before they moved on to a post-secondary education program were not receiving it. And even most recently, speaking with some parents at Vista del Lago High School at a district-sponsored event, one of the parents notified everyone in the classroom that there are basically 70 families from Moreno Valley that trek to North High School every day so their children can be a participant in the International Baccalaureate Academic Program, which we do not have in this community. And we need to have in this community the highest level of secondary preparatory education that's possible within the state structure, and we just don't have it right now, and it'll bring up all the schools. My gut feeling was it would bring up all the schools, and I had gone to Don Markham after having coached at two of the high schools in the district and really trying to implement academic support programs for the student-athletes, which fell on, for the most part, deaf ears. And even having one of the principals telling me when I was trying to compare what I was trying to do to get the kids to compete against the kids from the Webb School, the statement was made to me, we don't have those kind of kids in Moreno Valley. And I was taken aback because I considered my daughter one of those kind of kids. So that's what prompted me to pursue developing a charter school, a competitive charter school, one that Mr. Moore spoke to, basically the Harvard Westlake of the Inland Empire I was looking at developing.
Okay. Now, tell me, what is the process that you go through to start a charter school? What have you done so far? You know, what have you put into this? And, you know, what steps have you taken to get this off the ground?
Leland could probably answer that very well. He's our expert on this.
Well,
okay.
As you know, the charter law has been around the state of California for many years, as early as 1992, and a lot of folks just aren't aware of that. And with the No Child Left Behind Act, it really took a close look at the states and county offices and local districts to find out whether, in fact, parents had the opportunity to have some say-so in their child's education. And as a result of that, over the last 30 years, charter law now has come to the stage where it's almost an adversarial relationship between parents and teachers and people of like experiences, educators who would probably retired or started their own business enterprises related to education. Folks like that have come together to start charters throughout the whole entire country. And since the last 25 years, early in its inception, many schools were very successful in getting charters, but now the last 5 years here in the state of California, I'm only speaking about California, it's very difficult to get a charter school approved because of the mindset. California authorizes the charter law. The federal government authorizes the states to provide the charter law an opportunity for entities to whether it be independent or in joint consideration with local districts, to open schools that are uniquely different. However, many districts, for example, like Moreno Valley Unified, who has struggled with API scores and have struggled with getting parents really deeply involved in their children's lives at the educational level, pretty much resent the fact that entities like ourselves and other folks are challenging them and making them look bad academically, but that's not the case at all. The whole charter law is really based upon the fact that we want opportunities and choice in different things for our children. For
okay,
example,
let me ask you a question. Let me stop you for just a second. So mm-hmm. you propose a charter, you propose what academics, what curriculum, and you ask who to approve that. The school district has to approve that?
That's correct. Any entity that would like to open a charter school has to go through a local district, and it can go to the county. And the last entity is the state of California, but it is kind of frowned upon that you don't go directly to a local district. And so that's what we've done. We submitted our application petition, it's called, to Moreno Valley Unified School District. Actually, this is the second time we've submitted a complete application and have been denied. And so we are currently in the process of taking our application to the County Office of Education, which has oversight of the districts when there's a denial. And the county office will work with us along with the Moreno Valley Unified School District to find out what the issues are and attempt to provide some assistance in providing us direction and providing the district direction with getting this resolved.
Okay, so you presented your application to the Moreno Valley Unified School District. They denied it once. They told you to fix something, change something, amend something. You went through that process, did that, so you submitted it a second time. They denied it. Now you can ask the county office to
intervene.
Can the county office actually approve it? Whether or not Moreno Valley District denied it or not, or do they act as an intermediary?
The county office can make suggestions, and the county office can also approve if they find in the facts or findings that certain of the elements and the findings on the elements from the district that they're not true or they're not substantiated by the district, you know, then the county office can find that authorization should have been given, and we go from there. And so the county office is like many things. The county office is, a lot of people don't understand this. The county office is responsible for many of the financial fiduciary duties that the state and the federal government require districts to report to. And so those reports are sent to the county office, and the county office assists with doing things like that for all the school districts in Riverside County. So, yes, they can intervene, and the county office has intervened on behalf of charters, and also the county office has supported denials by districts. So if the county office is kind of a judiciary board that will hear both sides of the issue.
Okay, now the application that you submitted, is there some place that the public can look at this and go, gee, this is something that sounds really good, a better alternative? Is it something that you have it online? They have to go to the county, they go to the school district. Where would they find this information at?
I'll let Chuck and Mr. Moore answer that question.
They can find that information right at the district. The district had to post both the first application and they posted the second application. Look under the board minutes and you'll find the Markham Collegiate Sports Academy, sponsored by the Collegiate Sports Academy Incorporated. And they can also go to markhamcsa.com, our website, and take a look in a more brief way at all of the features that we are offering the students of Moreno Valley. So both places, I think the quickest one is to go right to the Moreno Valley Unified School District Board and check their minutes, and you'll see that a PDF of our application is right there. It's real kind of it's difficult to reprint for folks. It's almost 300 pages or so, with the addendums over 300 pages, so it's not something we provide to everybody. But you can find also a smaller brochure on our website as well.
Okay, another question, and this to me probably goes to why districts probably don't want to approve charter schools. Now, how does the funding work for the school district if a charter school comes into the school district? Does it take away from the district's funds? Is it from a different funding source, and it doesn't impact the school district unless, say, students go from the school district to the charter school? Do you get the same funds as the school district would per student? How exactly does that work?
Let's not have any dead air time. Let me try and answer that. This is Chuck Moore. Every student who enrolls in the school generates the income to keep that school open, whether it be a public school, a regular public school, or a charter school. So in effect, yes, it does. We've calculated that in our first 3 years of operation, we wouldn't impact more than 3% if 200 kids per year enrolled in our campus as we planned. We wouldn't impact Moreno Valley Unified School District more than 3% in the first 2 years of operation. Now, our goal is that we become a district or a district school, or not a district school, but a local school that attracts students from Riverside to come our direction, or from the southern part of Corona to come our direction. So we can attract students as well with the high-powered curriculum as well, too. So our goal is not just to focus on the students within the Moreno Valley area, but to really give them the first opportunity for this. And if it worked well, at most we would impact them 5%, but all the resources that go to the student at the public school would then come to the charter school directly. And that's, you know, special education funding, English language learning support, support for food and reduced lunch programs and that sort of things. All those resources would then come to the charter. So that's the number one reason. But I also think the number two reason is that, you know, innovation is not what we've seen in school districts throughout the state of California. I was a college recruiter for over 28 years, and I can pick the districts where over 60% of the students in the state go to the University of California and the California State Unified School District. And only those districts that were innovative and changed according to the new needs for admissions were able to keep their number of students being enrolled on an annual basis. We want to do that with our school. We are requirements are more rigorous than even the most expensive private schools in Southern California. And we're saying we want to give that in the new expanded format, online learning, but on site. That's not what's done. We would, instead of the teacher being the sage from the stage, we want the teacher to learn to be a coach and a guide from the side. A real simple transition where they become much more resourceful. And I think probably one of the most important people on our campus will become the librarian. Given this technology-driven world to find all the information and resources that kids can go after individually now. So a whole new profile, 12 hours a day open, not the standard 6 hours a day in most schools. Open on Saturday for remediation. Every student walking in the school gets an academic plan. Every student. The students with special needs get their basically federally mandated plan that's required, but every student walks in with several plans that we monitor, and we try to set goals together, get them focused early on careers. In addition to their sports achievements, on careers outside of sports or using sports. But that new, we thought this new model was definitely innovative. I've seen the academic portion work in Chino Unified School District now for about 7 years in their alternative school, an outstanding program, and they have the statistics to show that the online students do as well or better than those students who are traditionally schooled in the classroom. So it's not a new technology, but it's just a new application. We know the students in Moreno Valley are going to need lots and lots of academic time to bring them up to par with the students in the wealthiest district in the state of California who they have to compete with. And we want to give them the opportunity to do so.
You know, Deanna, there's another component that Jeff Clayton had brought up, even at one of the board meetings, which I thought was profound, is the number of students within just the Moreno Valley Unified School District that are on suspensions. Now, the money that Chuck was talking about is called average daily attendance, and when a student is not attending the school or the classroom, they're not sitting in a seat, the district does not get funding for that individual. So our program would really only, it's called, I think Chuck will probably confirm this, it's called, you know, 600 program, where we only, if for any one of our future sites, would be only 600 students, 100 from each grade group, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. That's not going to happen overnight. It'll take a few years to build that up, so this isn't going to happen right away. But that's only 600 students. Jeff Clayton, could you elaborate on that suspension issue that we'd actually be helping them out in these cases?
Well, I think part of the challenge we have in our community is that we have parents who work outside the county, not just the city. They work outside the county. I myself commuted from Sunnymead Ranch to Los Angeles for many a year when I worked in Los Angeles. And so a lot of times students run afoul of rules and regulations on campus. And if the parent was local, the parent could come in, sit down with staff, administration, and their child and probably ameliorate the issues that are causing the child to respond the way they're responding within the context of the school. But in most cases, our parents can't get back for those meetings. By the time they get home in the evening, the schools are closed. They can't take time off from work to go to a meeting. So in many ways, the schools have, when you look at the statistics, you see a significant number of in-school suspension, but you also see a very significant number of out-of-school suspension. And the out-of-school suspension really concerns me because that goes directly to public safety. When you have a parent working in another county and their child is not on the school campus and has been removed, and the school feels that we cannot have this child on our campus, so we're going to release them to the community. Who in the community, one, knows the child has been released? Two, what resources are in the community to help that child make a positive navigation of their downtime away from the school site? They need other alternatives. It's something that I believe former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton stated when she said it takes a village to raise a child. So it takes multiple types of educational opportunities to address students who have multiple needs. There's not one size fit all, and in many cases, many school districts, including our local one, are in some cases trying to fit round kids in the square pegs, and they just don't have the resources or staff to do it, and after they come to their wits' ends, they just let them out. And within the most recent reporting year, over 10% of the student body was on suspension during the 2012-2013 calendar year. Over 10% of the student body.
Okay.
That is a lot of financial loss by the district. So when they say that a charter school be taking money away from them, the reality is they've already given up to 10% of their ADA due to suspensions. These are the kind of students that many charter schools are able to help. And so we're really not taking anything away from them. We're assisting students that would otherwise be out on the streets, as Jeffrey was saying.
Okay, so your point about charter schools really wasn't that you were taking, you were going to specifically take in students that have been suspended. You were saying that schools actually, because they suspend students, they actually cut their own funding. So you're saying if they cut their funding by 10%, you're talking about maybe trickling 3% into their funding. So you're really not they're cutting their own foot more than you would be.
Yeah, many of the students okay. are suspended and because of a category called defiance. And the kids may not be defiant. They may be bored. They're not intellectually challenged. And now all of a sudden, that turns into
all right, that's a whole other conversation, but we're actually just about out of time, and we actually had intended to get to recapping the city council meeting, and I had asked Donovan Sadiq if he would do that, and hopefully he's listening, and if not, I'm going to call him back and ask him if maybe he could help me do that tomorrow, because we only have about 3 minutes left on the show. And then it ends. And so right now, what is the most important thing that you want to tell people about the charter school? And you would probably want to give them another way to get a hold of the information from the charter school, so maybe your website, because you got about 2.5 minutes now to do that.
Take it away, Leland.
Jeff, go on and take care of that, please.
Okay, well, my statement would be real quick, if I'm the Jeff that was supposed to speak. As a parent of a child who went through this district, the charter school is a win-win. It's a win for the community. It's a win for the family.
And the charter school that we're planning is actually to be built on-site in Moreno Valley, and you can go to www.markham, that's spelled MarkhamCSA.com. That stands for Markham Collegiate Sports Academy. So that's MarkhamCSA.com. On that website would give you email and phone contact as well as a contact button if you wanted more information. And then Chuck Moore will be able to respond to those. Many times he's the one that does that. Deanna, may I ask if we have enough time for each one of the board members and general manager to just kind of give a quick background on what their credentials are?
You have a minute and a half, so you guys have 30 seconds apiece to do that.
This is Chuck. Let me start. My background is I have a master's degree in curriculum and instruction from UCLA. I've worked for 25 years in college admissions, college recruiter. I've been a high school teacher. I've visited almost every high school in the state of California over 20 years, and I looked at those successful schools.
Okay.
This is Jeff Clayton. I've also been in college admissions. I've worked as university administrator at the University of Southern California for over 25 years. I've worked at California State University Long Beach as an administrator, Oberlin College as Associate Dean of Admissions back east. I've worked at a prep school as a college placement officer, and I've been a coach on the high school level in Moreno Valley in Paris the last decade when I moved out
Leland.
Here. So I've been very involved locally.
Leland.
Hi, I'm Leland Daniels. I've been with the Riverside County Office of Education for 34 years, retired as a school administrator, developed many, many different programs under No Child Left Behind, and was coordinator principal for the alternative education schools for Riverside County Office of Education throughout the county, as well as assisted with the writing of various different grants for Young Men as Fathers, for Okay,
I
want
to
I can
all of you for on the show, and now it's time to say good night, Moreno Valley.
Good night, Moreno Valley.
Good night, Moreno Valley.
Good night, Moreno Valley.